Hello, friends and families. Welcome to the Educa DPS podcast. My name is Javier Ibarra, your host of the Educa DPS English version. Today, we have Joe Rosas, physician assistant of Rachel B. Knowles School-Based Health Clinic with Denver Health. He's here to talk about the importance of vaccinations during the return to school. Joe, welcome to the Educa DPS podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get into these questions, I want to ask you, what do you do for Denver Health, and what do you enjoy the most about your job?
Yeah, so I'm a physician assistant at Rachel B. Knowles campus, which means that we have a pediatric clinic that provides completely comprehensive care for all Denver Public School students and their siblings. So we're able to provide things like physicals and immunizations. We even have a small pharmacy on site. We've got multiple tests that we can do if kids are feeling sick. And so it's really exciting to be able to provide those services for our school district. I'm also a clinician with the school-based virtual care program, which is trying to break down barriers to care by partnering with Denver Public School nurses and being able to provide primary care services in schools with high need that don't have school health centers on site, which is really fun. So one of the things I enjoy most about being a PA in the school-based health centers is the relationships that I'm able to build with the students and the families. Being able to spend more time with them in this setting and seeing them in the hallways and with their friends in their own environment allows me to really get to know who they are and what their interests are and what they value. And so being able to support their health is really meaningful for me to be able to know them in that way.
As I think back to when I was a student at DPS, you know, you had to go call your primary and try to get a physical and then try to play sports. But it sounds like now you are able to do that on site, on school.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really pretty exciting. I also didn't have access to that when I was growing up. So it's really exciting to be a part of a group that does that. And the other exciting thing is it's completely no cost for all Denver Public School students and their siblings. So it's really cool to be a part of.
Well, thank you for that. I recently received a press release from the Colorado State Department of Health stating that students in our city and state are returning to school, right, in which public health officials are urging parents and guardians to get their children back on track and up to date on their immunizations as possible. And I think we can agree, the pandemic might have skewed some of that for folks, but I think it's important for us to talk about that today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hence why you're one of our guests.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get into it. How early should parents vaccinate their children?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first immunization that's typically recommended is hepatitis B, which is at birth. And then the next group of immunizations we provide are at 2 months and 4 months and 6 months. And the beauty of the schedule is the reason that we're doing it as early as we are mm-hmm. is because the immunizations are teaching our kids when they're most vulnerable. They're teaching their immune systems how to recognize these bacteria and viruses and toxins ahead of time. So when they are likely to be exposed later on in life, mm-hmm. their body knows how to contain it. And so that's why it's so important that we're able to provide these immunizations when they're most vulnerable, so they know how to fight them when they are exposed later on.
You touched a little bit on this, right? Why so early? But can you go in depth with that for me?
Yeah, of course. So to go into a little bit more detail, one of the beauties of being a young child is when a child is born, they actually have a lot of protection through antibodies that they receive from their mom, which okay. is really, really cool. And they can also continue to get some of those antibodies if they're breastfeeding as well. Mm-hmm. And it's normal for our antibodies to kind of decline a little bit with time. And so that's why we actually wait those first 2 months to continue to let those antibodies do what they need to do. And then we start boosting them with those immunizations. And so by being able to provide the ability for the immune system to learn how to recognize these things ahead of time, mm-hmm. that's why it's so important, because it prevents those bacteria and viruses and toxins from causing severe disease in the future.
It sounds like the human body is very amazing in how it functions
it
from the day you're born.
Yeah.
And how it works throughout.
Absolutely.
What are some of the vaccines that parents should prioritize, that they should really focus on?
It really is a good question. And I think one of the simple answers is to say all of them.
Right,
because each one of them is so powerful, and it's an amazing opportunity to, again, we're boosting a child's immune system, not preventing it from doing what it wants to do, mm-hmm. but teaching how to do it even better. And so the things that we're preventing against, things like some of these conditions cause liver failure or inability to breathe from various things like diphtheria and pertussis, or some viruses might make it so that we can't breathe on our own, mm-hmm. from polio or infections of the brain. These are really serious consequences, and you can imagine all of those things, it's hard to weigh which one is more important than the other. Mm-hmm. And so the beauty is we don't have to. We're able to provide these really safe and really effective vaccines against all of these things that we just mentioned, so we can prevent our kids from even having to be exposed to these kinds of complications.
I like what you said there about how we don't have to prioritize, we don't have to worry about them all, we can target them. I think, you know, if history has taught us something is a disease or a virus becomes available and then we've acted to create a vaccine towards it, right? I also liked what you said about, you know, the body is doing what it's going to do naturally, but with the vaccines, it's going to do it better. Mm-hmm. When I think of like a reference for cars, right? If you have a fast car, you could put a turbo in it. It's going to go fast, yeah. And then with the turbo, it'll go faster.
Absolutely.
So I think that's how my brain internalized what you were saying.
Yeah. I like that idea because I completely agree. We are just supporting the body to do better what it already knows what to do. And it's exciting because this allows our kids to, instead of having to focus on some of these complications from a lot of the illnesses that they're exposed to, mm-hmm. instead that time and effort can be focused on the things that are important, like sports, and being in school, learning, being with family. It's really an amazing opportunity that we live in an age where we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're not worrying about, you know, all the other diseases or being sick in general, right? You can worry about your grades. You can worry about, you know, playing a sport, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So, normal things that our students are thinking about. My question to you here, and it's very important, I think that our parents and families will want to know, caregivers, which is, which vaccines are required for you to start school here at DPS?
Absolutely. So there is a good list of immunizations that are typically required, and there's a lot of overlap, which is really nice, between daycare and attending grade school at DPS. But some of the ones that we've already talked about a little bit, but just to kind of name them, would be hepatitis B to protect the liver, a vaccine called diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, which combines three different diseases we're protecting against. Haemophilus influenza, which historically has caused severe infections in the throat and is still around today, like all of these, which is why we still recommend them. Poliovirus, pneumococcal disease causing pneumonias and brain infections, and then measles, mumps, and rubella, and varicella or chickenpox.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I know that when I was in college, mm-hmm. and I was part of an orientation team, it was also part of the immunizations that are required for when you're going to school at the university level. So I think it all tracks. You said from preschool and even before that, childcare, preschool, school, university. It's
absolutely
all one track. Mm-hmm. So what can parents do if for whatever reason their child is not up to date with their vaccines?
Yeah, and I think that is, it's a really good question because I think a lot of families find themselves in this situation. And sometimes may have resources to help and maybe they don't. But for some of our families that have a primary medical home or a primary care provider, mm-hmm. I would recommend that they reach out to their clinic, because one advantage to that is their clinic knows them or probably has seen them already, mm-hmm. and can be very helpful to answer some of their questions and provide what's recommended for maybe what they need still.
Sure.
And then for our families who may not have a primary care provider or who may not be able to get in or potentially are underinsured or uninsured, this is where I get really excited about the school-based health centers, because mm-hmm. they have access to this really unique program with the school-based health centers in Denver Health. And they can get, they can talk with a healthcare provider like myself or other members of the team, and we can sit down and talk with them about, well, what's recommended and how can we support you and make you feel confident that this is a way that we can support you to be happy and healthy. So we can provide all of those resources, and it's, again, it's no cost.
I think that's part of the equity component that we talk mm-hmm. about here at DPS, right? When we're providing resources for our families, often people think, well, you know, the educational piece, right? We're a school district. We need to be providing the educational piece. But we also have something what's called the whole child, mm-hmm. which goes along with everything that the child needs in order to learn, in order to thrive, is what we say here at DPS. Yeah. So thank you for explaining that. I want to know, should parents, guardians, family members talk about the importance of vaccines with their children?
Mm. I think it's an awesome opportunity. Yeah, to me, this is a chance for an opportunity for parents or guardians or caregivers to really meet the kids where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Because some kids may have questions about how a vaccine works or why we even do vaccines. And then some kids might just be really scared about the pain that might be associated with it and may not understand why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great opportunity for our kids to be able to talk with somebody that they love and someone they trust, and to be able to learn that, oh, you know what, this is an opportunity for you to actually enhance your immune system so that you can instead focus on things that are important to you. So you can instead protect your community and people you care about who might be higher risk if they were to get some of these things, like our grandparents or maybe our younger siblings, things like that. So to me, it's a great opportunity to build relationships and really empower both kids and caregivers to be able to have that conversation.
I think about the TikTok with a doctor who is trying to get the baby's attention. So baby's getting vaccines,
yes.
And he's trying to get the attention, and he does this little song. I don't know if you've seen it, and he does this little song, and out of nowhere he immunizes the child,
mm-hmm.
and the child has no clue on what happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know exactly what video you're talking about, distracting with tissue paper,
yes,
dancing and sounds, and
yeah.
And it really is amazing, because a lot of times when our kids have that fear,
mm-hmm.
it's the fear of maybe the unknown, or it's sometimes blown out of proportion because our brains are very powerful things.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a lot of things that we can do to bring them comfort and
mm-hmm.
to reassure them and to make it a really, oftentimes a positive experience when they leave. So it is a great example of how easy it could be and how positive that experience can be.
I'm glad you mentioned that for our families who also might have some hesitation, right? As I think if I'm the parent and I was scared of, immunizations, then it's natural for my kiddo to be as well. But if one of our goals is to make that a positive experience, overall, I think that might change the perception and help parents get comfortable with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can the school-based clinics help with all the vaccines that we're talking about here today? And if so, what is the cost? I think that'll be very important for our families too, who will want to know what costs are associated with the school-based health clinics.
Absolutely, and I think it's a really, really great question. And in a lot of families that we're able to serve, sometimes it's a bigger question.
Sure.
That is one of the reasons I love doing what I do, is we're able to provide all of these resources completely no cost for our families. We are grant funded, so we're able to provide these resources to all of our communities within DPS,
mm-hmm.
No matter their insurance status, no matter their ability to pay. All of those resources and services that we provide at the school-based health centers are no cost, which is great. And with regards to your question about which vaccines we provide all of the recommended immunizations from the CDC and the ACIP. So we have, we will be getting things like flu and COVID whenever those seasons are coming back. And
mm-hmm.
we have all of the other school vaccines that we had talked about before.
Something that we didn't talk about, but that's kind of really in the back of my mind here, is, are school-based health clinics unique to DPS, or do other schools across the country have them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm originally from Florida.
Okay.
And I can tell you we didn't have anything like it.
Right.
So one thing that is unique with regards to the DPS school-based health centers is Denver Health's association with DPS. It is the largest school-based system in the state of Colorado, which is really, really cool. We're able to serve a lot of families. Right. But Aurora School District also does have some school-based health centers as well. And there are other school districts in the state that and in the country that provide these resources. But there are many, many locations that don't have access to these services.
Sure.
And so that's why I think it's really important to get the word out and let families know this is a resource. We want to be able to support you in this way, however we can.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it is an amazing program to be a part of.
I think it is important, and it's unique, I think, in the sense that I walked through the George Washington school-based health clinic there. And when you walk through the doors, it's like you're at a primary doctor. It doesn't look like it would belong in a school. It's a very, and it's kind of urban looking, I would say.
Yep.
And I've been to a few of the other that we have in the district, including the one that we're going to be building in Montbello.
Yes.
So all exciting things when it comes to providing the healthcare that our students need at a school not necessarily in your school, but in your region of the city.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for that. We haven't talked about this, I don't think, as a society for a very long time now, but it's coming up. We see it more in the news. Are there any concerns about the possibility of another outbreak from COVID-19 or any other disease for that matter?
Yeah, that's also a really great question. And so just to kind of take a step back, an outbreak is just when you have a rapid spread of a particular disease within a community that might be susceptible to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple things that I think about that increases the chance of an outbreak occurring is one thing is there are certain viruses that are really sneaky, and they can change just a little bit to sneak past our immune system.
Like the flu?
Yeah, like the flu. Mm-hmm. And that leads to us maybe getting infected more than once from things like flu and COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of that is once we do have some protection, once it does recognize that after we've created that minor illness, it takes it out even better than it would have if we hadn't.
Right.
So some viruses being able to change a little bit is one challenge. But the other challenge is the susceptibility of people who are not protected in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a larger amount of people in a community who have no protection against a particular virus or bacteria, you can imagine that if one person gets it, then that's so easy for it to infect other people.
Absolutely.
So the nice part is that we don't have to sit around and wait for an outbreak to occur.
We can get ahead of it.
Yeah, we can get ahead of it. We have the resources to be able to immunize our communities and our loved ones and our kids so that we can boost our immune systems to create a response so that when we are exposed to these things in the future, our bodies can take it out before it becomes a severe disease and it makes it harder for it to spread. So we can really mitigate the risk of outbreaks occurring by helping our communities in support of vaccines.
I should have mentioned this earlier, but when I was in college, part of my degree was to take science courses. Mm. My degree was in business, take some science courses, and I picked one on viruses.
Mm-hmm.
This was before the pandemic, and I learned that, for example, the flu vaccine, that the flu vaccine that's developed for that season is for the flu that's going to be either the most powerful or the one that's going to affect the most people. And so that's how there are folks who can get the vaccine, the flu vaccine, but still get the flu because it might have been a different strand. I also learned that the flu is one of those viruses that's very elegant and that it changes consistently.
Absolutely.
To the point where we need to have updated vaccines, almost completely different from what the original one was last year. And so I say all this to lead up to my next question is, are vaccines safe?
Yeah, that's a great question. And One other thing in addition to your point about mm-hmm. these things shifting a little bit and mm-hmm. and how even if we've been immunized, sometimes it looks so different that we can get infected again. Mm-hmm. One thing that is exciting that we do know is when we get infections from COVID and infections from influenza, if we have been vaccinated, it doesn't mean it didn't work.
Right.
The risk of us having severe infections leading to pneumonias and hospitalizations and worse problems mm-hmm. is significantly reduced whenever right. we have had some bit of protection. So I like to remember that because it's really exciting when you can remember those things too. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our vaccines safe, it's on a simple platform, the answer is yes. And I want to provide our families who are listening a couple things that can help us feel more comfortable with that idea. Mm-hmm. One thing is that millions of kids receive vaccines every single year, and most of them without any challenges at all. Mm-hmm. And then the most common side effects we might see are really, really minor. Things like soreness at the site of injection or a little bit of swelling. Even more rare than that, we might see things that might be a little bit more uncomfortable, like low-grade fevers or body aches or fatigue. Mm-hmm. And the nice part is being able to remember that that's not a sign of us being sick. That's actually a sign that our immune system is learning.
It's working.
It's responding. Mm-hmm. It's learning how to fight these things so that when we're exposed to the real thing, it can't cause severe illness like it could otherwise. And so that's one thing that I think is really helpful, is thinking about the millions of kids who do really, really well. The other thing is when it comes to the makers of vaccines, remembering that there's a very rigorous program they have to go through before vaccines even can reach you or me or mm-hmm. our kids. Mm-hmm. And we're talking thousands of volunteers being tested with this and helping us understand the safety and the efficacy of these things before they reach us. Mm-hmm. And even after they're approved, one more thing that's amazing is we have surveillance. So anybody who receives an immunization can report a side effect. So we can go from thousands of individuals giving us information to like tens of millions.
So there's a consistent feedback loop.
Absolutely.
It's not just one and done and we'll see how it works later on.
Exactly.
We are consistently looking at that.
Absolutely. So we're building on this this platform and just getting more and more data. And then we say, okay, so what are the risks and benefits of this vaccine? So the risks, you know, some of these minor side effects are uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but the risks of getting infected from these viruses, if we're not protected, is significantly high. So that's how right. we can feel really comfortable that right. the benefits outweigh the risks of not getting
absolutely.
Our immunizations.
Well, Joe, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Do you have a final message for us, for our DPS families?
Yeah, two things come to mind. And the first thing is I want families to feel empowered. And I want them to feel comfortable asking their healthcare providers, or if they don't have one, asking their school-based health centers that are here to help them, questions they may have, letting them know their concerns, because we want to walk through that with them. Mm-hmm. We're here to support them because we're their advocates and the cheerleaders for their kids. And I'm lucky to do that. The other thing is to be able to do some research on your own from credible sources. And some of the ones that I really, really like are the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has an amazing vaccine education center and app called Vaccines on the Go.
Okay.
That is very, very clinician and parent and patient friendly. And then the other thing I'd like to just to state is that vaccines save lives. And we want to make sure that all children have access to this life-saving resource.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you for what you do for our families and for DPS. I'm sure you get thanked a lot, but I personally want to thank you because this what you do with the school-based health clinics and with what you do with the vaccines and coming on to the show today to, you know, promote the resources that we have available for our families. I want to thank you so much. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us and thank you for this platform and getting the word out. It's a team effort and I'm really happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, folks, this concludes our Educa DPS podcast for today. I want to ask for you to please help us share this content with families, friends, and other community members who might benefit from the topics that we were talking about today. For more information on Educa content and other stories, please visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Denver Public Schools Plus, or give us a listen at any of our podcast platforms that you prefer to consume your podcasts. It is important for us to give credit to the people behind the scenes who contribute to the making of this and all DPS Multimedia productions, starting off with Bill Good, Chief of Communications, Will Jones, Executive Director, Scott Pribble, Director of External Communications, Selena Nakamura, Director of Internal Communications, Don Pierce, Executive Producer and Videographer, Beto Gaitan, Multimedia Lead Producer and Host of the Spanish Educa, Hannah Young, in charge of our social media, Georgia Alexander, our Bond and Mill Levy Communication Specialist, April Spites, our graphic designer. A special shout out to our DPS educators, students, and parents. I want to thank a big thank you to Dr. Alex Marrero, proud superintendent of Denver Public Schools, for supporting Educa and all the other platforms. This has been Javier Ibarra, Senior Manager of Media and Public Relations, as well as your Educa host in English. Please remember to tell your children more often, and Joe, if you can help me with this, we'll say it together. Ready?
Sure.
I believe in you, and I know you can do it. Until next time.